Good morning.
Here we are again. I really am going to enjoy today's subject matter because we're going to move on. And the one, this is the one that on your paper, it got cut off, so we have to read it out of the Bible. So who has a King James and can look up Revelation 2:17? No. Yes, 2:17.
I
like to keep them all
in the
word.
What?
You already prayed or anything?
Bro, oh, we haven't prayed.
What?
I tend to forget that a lot. Clyde, want to pray?
Did I? Okay. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to confess that you exist. And you exist because we not just feel you, but Father, we breathe you. Your spirit is the spirit of life, and we breathe in life every day because your mercies are new and afresh every day. So Lord, we just ask that you have your way this morning in class. Holy Spirit, we come and ask that you come and not just visit, but take your place of your seat among us. Yes. That you could lead us and guide us in all truth. That, Father, everybody would be a little different, but more happy that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay, who said you want to read that?
Oh, yeah, I think she said. Didn't you have King James?
I haven't King James.
Yeah,
okay.
Did you all read?
Go ahead and read Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, and probably 18.
Now, I don't read very good.
That's fine.
There is no good. There's only try.
He that have an ear, let him hear that the saints said unto the churches, to him that overcome will I give to eat of the hidden mammon, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving his that receive it.
Fantastic. I think that's the end.
Mm-hmm. No. But it's as good as I can do.
That's the
good.
End of that,
right?
Yes,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, there's really a lot in there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys know that as well as I do. First of all, remember that this is just a rabbit hole. The thing about overcoming is a rabbit hole from Romans chapter 9. And eventually we're going to crawl our way out of the rabbit hole and get back on the main road. But I am so enjoying here reading about the overcoming. So we know who the overcomer is. He's the overcomer. He came conquering and to conquer. I love that. And when I was reading this the other day, or no, this morning actually, it said here that the Ecclesia, let me see, chapter, back here in 2:11, when we were reading about the second death part, it said, now listen up, you with inner ears, hear with understanding what the Spirit is saying to the Ecclesia. And then it said, in parentheses, not, you know, this is, he's adding this. The Ecclesia is those who discover their identity in me, their identity in Christ. So, you know, that's what the called is. The called is, our, you know, that's what the called is, that's what the overcomers, you know, that all kind of goes together because he tells that. You know, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And then he's saying to the Ecclesia, you know, and that's all. All the people that have had their minds, by the renewing of their minds, and they've come to realize their identity in Christ, and that he that triumphs in their fearless embrace of my resurrection life, you know, Jesus is the one who died, and we died with him. Jesus is the one who was buried, and we were buried with him. And Jesus is the one that, you know, rose from the grave, and we rose with him, and we are in Christ. There, that's where our overcoming power comes from. Jump in whenever you want.
I can say some things about manna if you want.
Manna?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was, yeah,
If you haven't said anything, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
I just wanted to see where that ecclesia word.
Okay. The word manna, one of the translations of it is, what is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. And yet, if you go to Thayer's, it will tell you, it will actually say man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man, instead of manna, man, they'll say man. If you go down into it a little bit. Jesus said he was the bread that came down from heaven. So, manna is the hidden bread of the heart, the hidden man of your heart. And if you eat of that, that's eating of life, basically, you know. And, you know, it's a little different than what most, you know, most teaching out there on it is. But the actual meaning of that word is what is it? And then if you go into the Old Testament meaning of it, into Thayer's and into Brown Driver, it will literally say man, you know. So he's the hidden man of the heart. The hidden manna is literally
exactly him.
He's the hidden man of the heart. And if you eat of him, he will give him a white stone, he says. And, you know, but I won't get into that. I'll let you go ahead on that.
That's too good.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that verse that says, what is man that thou art mindful of?
Right.
And because that kind of takes the man and the what is it? What is man?
Yeah.
What is man that thou art mindful of him? And then, what was it that it went on to say?
Says that thou visitest him,
mm-hmm.
thou did crown him glory, set him over all the works of your hands. And it says, but we do not yet see all things put under his feet.
But yet
we see Jesus.
Hey,
who
asked the question?
A lot of people have.
No, I meant, no. In the word, who asked the question?
There, Job, actually, there is a lot of stuff in Scripture where it says, what is man?
Mm-hmm.
But who is man is a direct, is that a...
In Hebrews, it tells you that, but it also tells you that in the Old Testament, too, where it will say, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
But it only says, but one person. In
right.
a certain place,
right.
testified, saying,
right.
what is man that thou art mindful of, or a son of man that thou visiteth him.
And it's the same person asking the question, right?
And then it says, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of thy hands. Now, is that man, Adam, or is that man, Christ Jesus?
I don't think it could be man, Adam.
No.
Not unless we went back to the garden,
mm-hmm.
and we want to run a little interference with God there,
uh-huh.
because that's what took God's place, was
mm-hmm.
him being saying stuff and doing things. That would be like, who said you were naked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I almost could ask, that was the same, almost the same type person. Because
mm-hmm.
God tells you who he is. Right? I mean, God always speaks in the incentive of being, heck, God's proactive in everything. I mean, you know, well, what's God going to do about this? Well, let's read and find out.
Well, I can tell you how I feel about that. You know, in the beginning, when God created everything, it was Elohim, and that's a plural word. It's not singular, you know. It's a plural word, so it means more than one.
Right.
Okay. And in Psalms 80, I think it's 82, he tells us that we're Elohim too, because he calls us, you know. And Jesus said in the New Testament, to whom the word of God came, he called them gods.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, man was part of God in the beginning, you know, until he was created. And I feel like he was made lower, he was lowered down into a lower realm. Because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now a lot of people won't say that. They'll act like, well, man was this exalted being. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells you he was of the earth, earthy, he was a soulish man.
Mm-hmm.
The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. Okay? And that's the beginning of a new creation man. That's why we have to come to a place of being what we call born again. Mm-hmm. Born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a little different teaching than what some people put out there, because, you know, it's that you always were, you always will be, and all that kind of stuff. Well, a little bit I disagree with that, because of what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, you know, because it basically tells you that howbeit that which was natural came first, and that which was spiritual came second. Okay? So when he created man, he was a natural being, you know, and he was of the earthly, and he was a soulish man. Now, it doesn't say he was a spiritual man, it says he was a soulish man. Okay.
Until God breathed into his,
his
spirit into him.
Well, the Spirit of God was in him, but his whole consciousness, his whole attitude was that of a soulish man.
Yeah.
You know. And that's why in the New Testament, when Jesus came and the Spirit of God, you know, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why would you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit if you were so, you know, already
there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You weren't already there. You were in the consciousness of a soulish man. And when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came in you, then what that did was that awakened the Spirit of Christ inside of you to the point where you were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And like I said, that's a little different teaching than what you get from a lot of them out there. But that's the way I see it. That's the way I feel like the Lord revealed it to me. Now, you know, whether you receive that or you don't, that's...
Can you say that again? Something about and when the Holy Spirit was awakened in you?
Awakened in you, yes. Uh-huh. Because, you know, the Spirit of Christ is in you, and it's in every person. If the Spirit of God is not inside of you, then your body will fall over and it will die. You know, it'll turn back into a lump of clay. But the thing about it is that being born again, that's why you must be born again. You know, in other words, you must come to the realization of being birthed into Christ. And you know, like I say, I have a different view on that than a lot of them what they teach out there. I mean, the deeper truth teachers.
I was thinking too that when you said that, you can't put limits on what that is to everybody.
Yeah.
When the Spirit of Christ is awakened in you, it doesn't have to be like Pentecost, like the teaching is, you must pray in tongues, you must do this, you must do that. And because it hasn't happened to me like that. And when the Spirit of Christ is awakened within you, it's the way you and God define it to be.
Well, what happened with Adam in the Old Testament? When Eve was taken out of Adam, you know, okay. Now here's my take on that. Man was a complete being when he was created, okay. He was a complete being, and God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. It says, and he took a chamber out of him. A rib is better. It's better translation. Chamber. He took a chamber out of him, and he created woman. And man became an incomplete being then, as far as I'm concerned. He was incomplete. And you say, well, Oscar, why do you say that? You come up into the New Testament. What does it say you're complete in? The only place where it says that you're complete, in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your completion comes. Mm-hmm. You are complete in Him. Mm-hmm. You have to be in Him to be complete. People are walking around out there incomplete. That's why they're trying to find something to complete them all the time. They try to find women, they try to find drugs, they try to find cars, houses, whatever, alcohol, anything to complete them. And guess what? It all falls short. I mean, as much as you love your mate, they don't completely complete you, you know. Now, you know, if you ever watched that movie Jerry Maguire,
yes.
the biggest verse in that whole, or line in that whole movie was when he came back to that girl.
His wife.
His wife. Okay,
yeah.
His wife. And he told her,
You complete me.
Because he saw this man and woman saying on the elevator.
Yeah, and when he said, you complete me, that was the biggest line. That's what every woman wants to feel like her husband thinks about her, and that's what every man like wants to feel like, you know, his wife thinks about him, that you complete each other. And you do complete each other to a point, but not perfect. The only thing that can really complete you is the Spirit of Christ, you know, and that marriage supper going on inside of you, you know. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go ahead.
That was like that we have in part.
Uh-huh.
We don't have completion.
Right.
But when the baptism comes, that's what we've been waiting for.
It's still only a taste. It's still,
it's, yeah, but it's, I mean, but it's a foretaste of that yeah. which is to come.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's like if you come over here and you read
1 Corinthians,
start with verse 45.
In what?
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45.
All right.
Okay, and this would be good for you to underline this in your Bible.
First Corinthians.
Yeah, mine's highlighted.
It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. Now, what's that telling you? Mm-hmm. Was Adam a big spiritual being?
No.
Not according to this, he wasn't. But that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man
is
the Lord from heaven.
Hallelujah.
And as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have bore the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Yes.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. See, now a lot of times everybody talks about, well, you're incorrupt, you know, you're you've already got it. Well, when you come to the realization of Christ in you, then you have it, you know. And it's a process, you know. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. Now, you know, the Lord dealt with me different times about this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. And that word for moment, there is the word atomos, and it's the only place it appears in Scripture. And it's where the word atomic comes from, or Adam, A-T-O-M, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up the definition of Adam, A-T-O-M, it will say something unchangeable.
Mm-hmm. The last okay? of it, right, that's right.
And if you want to know what happened in World War II, you see what happened when they dropped that bomb. That brought us into the atomic age, because what did they do to make that thing explode?
Split.
They split an atom.
Mm-hmm.
and force that, that they had never seen before was unleashed by splitting that atom.
That's right.
Because it's not supposed to be split.
Right.
It, you know, it's not supposed to be split, you know. And you know, in us, when we come to a place where we're unchangeable anymore, mm-hmm. you know, that's what it's basically saying there. Mm-hmm.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery. When you come to the place where you're unchangeable anymore, in a twinkling of an eye, mm-hmm. you know, in a twinkling of an eye, what is the twinkling of an eye?
Huh.
What makes your eye twinkle?
Light.
Light. When you what scripture talk about when your eye is single, your whole body
is
be
full
what?
Of light.
Full of light. Okay. You know, and when you see somebody and they really seem to be joyous or happy or whatever, or they really seem to be big in love or something, people say, boy, there was just a what in their eye.
Twinkle.
There was a twinkle in their eye, buddy. You know. I mean, you know, all this stuff is really pretty simple. It's not very complicated. And you know, it says that the last sound at the trump, at the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, the trumpet is a message. It's always a message. And the message of growing up into Christ is getting stronger and stronger in the earth today. You know, and I feel like some people have taken it too far, and some people haven't taken it far enough. You know, there's a balance in it, you know. And, you know, some people want to just, I mean, don't get me wrong when I say this, but they want to go off and sit on the hilltop mm-hmm. and just wait until they're changed. Well, I got news for you. I don't know that God wants you going off sitting on the hilltop. Unless he tells you to do that, you go sit on the hilltop. But
you come down to be part of the body.
You come down to be part of the body, that's right. We've got a brother that used to go to church here that had a very strong prophetic word at one point. And he was always sitting on the outside trying to prophesy in. And Clive knows who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always trying to prophesy in. But he was always prophesying negative stuff and bad stuff. Not build up stuff, you know what I mean? Always talking bad about people or whatever, that kind of thing. Well, that's not what the Lord wants to happen, you know. But and don't get me wrong, if God gets you sitting off in the desert somewhere, go sit off in the desert.
For a season.
For a season.
Yes.
For a season. But, you know, you're part of the body of Christ, and if you're not being part of the body of Christ, then you're being an island unto yourself, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of times, you know...
He's nicer than I am. Anyway, Oscar.
Yeah.
I'm
not trying to knock anybody, because there is seasons when God sets you aside for a while or whatever. And if he sets you aside, go aside, you know. But be mindful of that you're still part of the body. And it's kind of hard to minister to the body in any way. If I cut my hand off and stick it out in the field and say, well, bless God, that hand's going to be made perfect someday, guess what?
You're going to lose it.
That hand's going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to die out there by itself. So, I mean, you know, you're part of the body, and you need to function as part of the body. And there is times when God sets you aside, like I say. And that's not saying that you don't minister when you're set aside, because you do sometimes.
Okay.
But
can I comment on that?
Yeah.
A lot of times God will take you out in order for a teaching for you. But when he brings you back, it's for you to edify the body and stand in correction when the body gives you correction. Because the correction of the body is life. You understand? The correction of the body is life. That whether you're not going to send them astray or here, but you're going to lead them to where they can dine and have a face and enjoy each other. But when you're away, you miss the correction of the body. And being honest with you, I believe that if you miss the correction of the body, you're missing the greatest way to become one with the body. You separated yourself. Yeah, that's right. That word up there.
In one body.
Because that's how we're supposed to be. That's how the body's supposed to be. We're supposed to be whatever our body needs, that's what we're supposed to attend to.
Yeah.
I mean, that arm was a good thing. I mean, let's use that as an example. Now, he go off, well, if he's part of the body, and we know he's part of the body, we go get him. We take care of that. We attend to it. Yeah. We otherwise, what the body's purpose is to attend to the purpose of the body so it will function underneath the head.
See, really this whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is a tremendous chapter. People should read it and read it and read it until it sinks in. But even when it talks about this corruptible shall I put on it, let me read it to you. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, that's good. Listen to the next verse. For this corruptible
must.
You mean we're corruptible? According to this, we are. Must put on incorruption. And this mortal, I thought we were immortal. That's what you hear everybody saying all the time. This mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up of victory. Mm-hmm. O death, where is your strength? Sting. O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You know, you have to be careful, because you can't throw out things out of the Bible, you know. I mean, you know, and sometimes people tend to throw some of it out and keep some of it. Well, you can't really do that. You know, so, you know, according to this, until you come to the realization of who you really are in Christ, you're born again, you're corruptible. Mm-hmm. You're mortal. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus, what did Jesus say to them? When they said, suffer me to go and bury my father. Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
Let the dead bury the dead.
Wait a minute. Why would he say that? If we're immortal, let the dead bury the dead. Because he said, come and follow me. He is life. You don't follow him, you ain't got no life. Not really. You're not experiencing it. You're not moving into it, you know. I mean, I know a lot of this goes against some of the things that are being taught out there, you know. But I'd rather go by what this says than what somebody else is saying. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So, anyway. But that first chapter of that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you read that whole thing and read it and read it and read it until it sinks down inside of you, you'll find out that he's talking about even the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, you know. And then it goes ahead and says, and this is verse 26 and 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith he put all things under him, it's manifest that he accepted to all things are under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. And why is that going to happen? That God may be all
in all.
In all. I love that.
Yes, amen. That's great.
That's when the completion of this thing is really going to happen, when all things are brought into subjection to the Lord. You know. But like I say, you know, I love a lot of the teaching out there. There's great teachers out there. But make sure that you don't just follow a teacher. Don't just follow me. Don't just follow any teacher. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you and teach you what he wants you to see. Because even some of the deeper truth teachers, they get off kilter a little bit. You know, I love Brother Benny when he came. His sister, his ministry was tremendous, and he took us into a lot of truths and things. But I also know that he kept talking about Well, I'm getting younger, and when they see me, everybody's saying, you look younger than you did the last time, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. You know, talking about this flesh now. That's what he was talking about. And I know that the last two or three years of his life, he laid up in a bed totally disabled. You know, so, you know.
Well, he even said he wasn't going to die.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, should I notice
that? Well,
it's true.
They implied that, you know. You know, you got to watch that you don't get puffed up in the knowledge God gives you. We need to stay humble. This thing is all about Him. It's not really about us. It's about what He's doing in us. You know, I remember when I'm trying to think of his name.
Bill Brennan?
No, it was the brother that came here great Bible teacher, great book. He's got really good books. I can't think of his name right now.
Kelly Varner,
tremendous, tremendous teacher, tremendous word. But when Kelly Varner came one time and he stood up there and says, I can take you out to the deep end of the pool and drown you, I said to him, I thought, oh man. I mean, I had a sinking feeling because I thought, you're getting puffed up in yourself, brother. You know, you don't know where we are, you don't know who we are, you know what? Audrey came up to him after he shared that time. She was sitting down in that thing. He came up and started talking to her. And she looked at him and she says, and I believe this was the Spirit of the Lord speaking through her. She says, you're not healthy. And he said, what? She says, you're not healthy. You got things wrong with you. You're not healthy. You know.
Do you think she meant that both in the body?
Well, I think she meant physically.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of times, what I'll tell you, if you start getting a little puffed up in the knowledge that God has given you, or the wisdom God's given you, or even the insight God's given you, what did Paul say? What did he say about the abundance of revelation that he had? What happened? You remember?
He had a thorn.
Sent a messenger to buffet him. Uh-huh. You know what I mean, buffeting you is? I mean, not slap you around, slap you around. And I got news for you. If you start getting exalted in yourself, God will get you. He'll slap you around a little bit. He'll send something to slap you around. Well, you know, Kelly Wander died not within a year or two after that.
Rather suddenly.
They found him
sitting
at his computer, dead, you know. And see, that's the thing about this stuff. This is all going to happen in God's time. It's all going to happen. He's perfecting things in us. He's working in us. And whether or not we experience it all, that's up to God. You know, it's what to say in the scripture says, not of him that runneth, but it's of God that gives the increase. Mm-hmm. And it's God that gives the increase. And we need to make sure that we keep that in mind, that this thing is still all about him and our relationship with him. It's not about us as much as we like to think it is. You know, it's not about us at all, really, when you get down to it. It's about him.
The thing where Kelly Varner died, people use that as, oh, look, see, God is mean. God is this. And I don't think that a lot of people understand the love that was in that to keep him away from.
Yeah. Well, see, I knew a minister one time who went in the ministry with somebody else, you know. And, you know, the Lord had me deal with him a little bit, and I told him, I said, I feel like you're going to be the ministry that you're going into. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just going to help. I'm going to help. Hmm. I said, no. I said, the Lord keeps telling me you're going to be the ministry, you know. And he just wouldn't receive that. Well, the person that he went in to minister with him died a while late. And this is not saying anything about me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to puff myself up or anything. But the person died. And the people in that ministry actually believed that God was going to raise that man up.
Within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I know who he's talking about.
You know
within 3 days.
I won't say any names, but, you know, they were so involved with that particular person that they thought God was going to raise him up within 3 days. They were really upset when he didn't get raised up. You know. Well, you know what? Don't get your eyes on nobody. Don't get your eyes on me. Never. Please don't. Because if you do, God will take me down real fast. I mean, don't set nobody on a pedestal. I don't care who it is. You know, because God will cause them to fail you miserably if you do. And you know, there ain't none of us more important than anybody else. We're all, you know, matter of fact, if God gives you the ministry to minister to other people, then you're just a servant is all you are. You're a servant. You know, you're not Lord and Master of the realm or anything like that. You're just a servant. And you need to realize that even though we know about sonship and we know we've been called to be kings and priests unto God and all that stuff, and we do, we know that. But I'm telling you what, you're put under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And it's going to be in God's timing. You ain't going to make it come no faster than when he's ready for it to come, you know. If you read in the scripture, there's so many places that the scripture where it'll say, and in the fullness of time, this happened.
That's right. That's
or in the fullness of time, that happened. Well, what do you mean by the fullness of time? In God's time.
Yes.
In God's time, when he was ready for it to happen. That's that, you know.
I think such great advice your mother gave about knowing God for yourself.
For yourself. For yourself.
It's so true. That,
You
know, that's a truth that will always be remain. It shall remain. That's the truth that God said, write that down. That's going to stay right there.
Yes.
I can tell you, I when I was a younger Christian, I ministered to some people that I worked with, you know, in another company, not down to Bowling Precision. And this one guy came to me and he says, we've got a youth group over in our church, you know, and he says, and we're meeting outside of the church, you know, and I'm thinking, well, okay. And he says, I'd like for you to come and minister to them. I think they'd really get. And I felt like God checked me and said, no. And I'll tell you why. Because I felt like he said, they'll get their eyes on you.
That's right.
And I don't want about people getting their eyes on me, you know, because it's all about the Lord. And I'm going to direct you to the Lord directly, to a personal relationship, because that's where it's at. If you don't have that personal relationship, then you're following a cult. That's what you're doing, you know. I don't care what minister you're listening to or you're going after or anybody else. It can become cultic after a while, you know. And it happens to the best of them because they get to thinking they're more than what they are. And when that deal happened with Jim Jones years ago, you know, and I heard about that, I thought, oh my God, there's going to be people really be devastated at church. That was my first thought, because there was people that really, you know, really still thought highly of him.
He came down here.
Oh yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. He was all around this area, you know what I mean. And you know what? I sat down and I said, Lord, why did this have to happen? And he gave me that scripture in the Old Testament of when he told Saul, when you were little, where Samuel told Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, I made you king over Israel. But he began to get big in his own eyes. And I'm going to tell you what, don't ever get yourself puffed up. Don't ever start thinking you're way more than you are. Because if you do, God knows he's got the pins. He knows how to stick the pin in there and let the air out of you. And then, you know, it can happen to any of us and all of us, you know. And we just need to keep following on to know him. I'm sorry I got off into all this. But
if Jesus said he came to serve all,
I would like your wisdom on this wisdom. Because in 1 Corinthians 2:7. But I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world into our glory.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what that mystery is?
No.
I'm going to tell you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
Who?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Your only hope.
That's the mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations, but now is made clear. And some translations say clear as daylight.
All right, that's what it says. Phillips.
In the Phillips.
Yeah.
And that's in Colossians.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in 1 Corinthians. Like,
no, I'm telling you, the answer is in Colossians.
Oh.
What the mystery is. That's the hidden mystery that prophets of old desired to look into, and when the Spirit of God would move upon them and show them things that were going to happen in the future. And all that, they desired to look into what we're experiencing today, mm-hmm. what we really know today. They didn't know that, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They had the feeling of that the Spirit of God came upon them, not that it dwelt inside of them and came out of them, you know.
You know, I've been sitting here, there's three words.
Let me get her to Colossians just a second before you do that. Go over to Colossians. Turn your Bible over there.
Where's it at?
Colossians?
Yeah.
It's right after Philippians.
Oh. It's after, right after Corinthians.
It's after Corinthians and
it's just toward the back.
And Philippians.
After Philippians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Colossians. Yeah. Philippians.
Yeah.
Colossians, what?
1 something.
Okay, Colossians 1:26.
She's getting it.
Colossians 1:26. If you got a pen, underline some of these scriptures in your Bible. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to mark in it. I write in mine all the time.
Yep.
Colossians
1:26.
No, it doesn't have it.
Yes, it does. Colossians 1:26.
Colossians
1,
verse 26.
There ain't no 26.
So chapter 2, chapter 2, right?
No, chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
This is Galatians.
Oh.
Okay, got to get in the right one.
Well, she said right,
Colossians.
Okay.
1:26.
Yeah, here it is. I got it in
Now read
yellow.
That. Read that.
Yeah, you got it marked together.
Mm-hmm. Even the mysteries which have been hidden from ages to and from generations.
That's it. And then it tells you what that mystery is.
But now is made manifested in his saints.
Read the rest of it.
Who is his saints?
You
welcome.
Are.
See, if you say that, you don't consider yourself one.
You are one of
now,
the saints.
Now, remember, Christ came and made you everything that you couldn't make yourself.
Yeah.
Is that an amen? That's the truth.
Amen.
Verse 27 goes ahead and says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery.
There it is.
Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And why do they do that? That we may present every man
That's right.
perfect in Christ Jesus. Until you realize Christ in you, mm-hmm. you can't be made perfect because you're looking for him out there somewhere, or you're looking for something to happen out there. Well, it's Christ in you. You're the temple of God. He dwells inside of you. And when you start acknowledging that you're the temple of God and Christ in you is the hope of glory, of you obtaining the glory of God, then, you know, you're looking in the right place. It's inside of
That's
you.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Brother Eddie loved that scripture.
Oh, yeah.
He was all,
yes.
We went to see him in the hospital one time after
Christ
church,
in you.
Me and Betty, and me. Soon we walked in the room and he said, oh, praise the Lord. He said, oh, yes, it is. Christ in you, the hope, yes.
All of the questions that you have, the answers are in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Scripture, in other portions of Scripture.
Yeah, but
That question that you just asked in that other portion of Scripture, you should write that down. You should make you a little notepad, a little notebook. You should write that Scripture down. Then you should come over to Colossians, and right underneath it, you should write what we just told you, and you should say, here's the answer. This is the answer to that. That's that mystery, the hidden mystery. It's been hidden from
God's mystery revealed.
Yes.
In Christ. Christ in you.
It says that in my Bible.
Well.
God's mystery revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the Colossians one, right? Mm-hmm.
The three words that ties everything together that we've been speaking of is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
If you believe that and you act upon it, you'll be led by it.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are led of the Spirit are the children of God.
See, that's why a lot of people journal and they write things down, because it, even if you have a question on a scripture, write that scripture down and then pray about it. And what you'll find out, if it's time for you to know the answer to that, someone will preach on that. God will show it to you.
That's right.
Somebody on the television will say it, or something will happen, and all of a sudden you think, oh my God, there it is right there. That's my answer. Because He does answer you if it's time for you to understand the answer. See? But like you said, you wanted to know what that mystery was, that hidden wisdom, that hidden mystery. That's what it is right there, Christ in you.
And you know what is so great about that? Is that we're on, on the internet. And there could be hundreds of people out there that are going, I don't get this.
Right.
Wonder what that mystery is.
And
you ask the question.
You ask the right question.
And it's okay.
And guess what?
It's they got the answer.
That's right.
Everybody that was listening on the internet or tuned into our thing, they got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the answer why? Because you asked the question. So there's nothing wrong with asking questions. That's a good thing.
Well,
you're our...
Okay.
I always do that in my Bible, too. I'll circle something and I'll write, see, 1 Corinthians.
My old Bible, it's so marked up.
I know. I hate it when people give me a new Bible.
And I still keep my old Bible.
My first Bible that I had,
I still have it. And it's kind of raggedy and stuff. But you know what? I'm real bad about not getting bent pages and stuff. I hate bent pages in a book. I don't bend no pages. I don't like that. I can tell somebody else gets in my Bible because they get my pages all disheveled and stuff.
I've got, of course, this Bible is, I've had it for a few years.
Yeah.
But I've got it all.
That's good to have it marked up.
I guess, and I got it written wisdom up on the top.
Yeah.
As much as I've opened this Bible and read about wisdom, I got it written right there.
Uh-huh.
And it's pointing to what I should be reading.
Uh-huh.
You know, that brings me to think about when it's time for you to understand, you'll understand.
Right.
And that makes me want
now.
I think that's something that we have to apply to the whole world.
Right.
That's what it is when God says, don't judge, don't eat of the knowledge of good and evil. It's just simply not their
it's
time
hard.
Yet.
Right.
And there's not our, I mean, after all these years, we still have so many questions.
And see, the thing about it is, too, it's like if you take this on a natural level, do you go to a first grader who's just learning to read and count his numbers and maybe add and subtract and say, I don't understand why you can't understand calculus? You know, well, I've had all kinds of math. I don't understand calculus, you know. I'll probably never understand calculus. But, you know, it's like sometimes we throw it off on the people that out there that don't really know the Lord. Mm-hmm. Why don't you know this? Mm-hmm. When it's our job to inform them, to tell them they've been reconciled with Christ, and not to throw all these huge doctrines on them and all that stuff. They don't need to hear all that. They just need to hear that God loves them, that he is a personal God. He dwells inside of them, if they'll acknowledge that. And they'll have that fellowship. He'll teach them a God. The Holy Spirit's the one sent to guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. Anything that we say that helps guide you into all truth, that isn't really coming from us. That's coming from the Holy Spirit.
And Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, that's the same what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We may present every person mature.
Right.
Exactly.
Full grown, fully initiated.
Right.
Complete and perfect in Christ the anointed one.
Yes.
And see, that's what we're called to do as teachers and preachers.
You can't do that by judging a guy. No. Why do you act like that? What the heck is the matter with you?
You know, I've known people before that they've said stuff about the rapture and stuff. Well, you know, I don't believe in the rapture, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, God's never showed me that it was real, what they're saying. You know? But I don't get into conversations with people about the rapture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll talk to them about the love of God. I'll talk to them about Christ in you. I'll talk to them about a lot of things. Now, if they came out, and I mean, we had one brother sitting in a Sunday school class years ago, and he come up to me after class, and he says, "Oscar," he says, "you don't believe in the rapture, do you?" I had never mentioned a rapture, one way or the other. And I said, "Well," I said, "let me put it to you like this, brother." I said, "the only thing that I teach on is the things that God reveals to me." I said, "now, if you want to sit down and explain the rapture to me, and really explain it to me," I said, "I'll be glad to sit down with you." But he couldn't have done that to save his life. It's just a doctrine that he'd been told, you know. And the word rapture, it doesn't even appear in the Bible. You know, being caught up does. But Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I was caught up to the third heaven. You know.
Oh, there were lots.
And you know, and I hear, and I've heard people say stuff about, and I'm not knocking anybody, but I've heard people say about higher realms of heaven than the third heaven. You can't show that to me in Scripture.
You can in songs.
Huh?
You can in songs. When he said levels of heaven.
Songs, yeah. Not here.
No. Kidding.
We know there's three levels there for sure, because Paul said he was caught up to the third one. Mm. We know that there was three courts, outer, inner, and holy of holies. You know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you gotta watch, because you
that
can get into things.
In
you can't line it up with this. This all Scripture was given for doctrine, for reproof, to thoroughly furnish the man of God. That doesn't mean that God can't reveal to you things greater than what's in here. He can. But if you can't line it up in here, because it was given for doctrine and for reproof, you know, then I leave it alone. I mean, you know, because that's how you get into, you get out in left field if you're not careful. And a lot of them get out in left field. And I'm not judging them, because maybe God's got them out in left field. Until they catch the fly ball. Then they come back in.
Well, people ask me about the rapture. I said, look, I'm trying to get through this one first.
Right. That's a good answer.
You know.
If somebody wants to believe in the rapture, I have no problem with them believing in the rapture. If that's what they want to believe in, I believe exactly what Clarice said that one time. She said, God will let you believe what you need to believe to get you to where He wants you to be, not where you think you want to be. But a lot of times, some people are going to have to lose some of their doctrines and some of their man-made doctrines, because there's a lot of them out there, you know.
I was listening to some ministers on TBN, and they tell people that the rapture about the good would be taken up to heaven and bad left here. I don't believe that.
We have a girl.
Well, what happened? What happened in Noah's day?
That's what I'm saying.
What happened in Noah's day?
That's
even if there was something like that, What happened in Noah's day?
Noah was left here on the earth.
That's right. The other were taken away.
Ben were taken away.
A lot of stuff.
I have a girl in seniors that I go to, and she totally, totally believes in the rapture. I mean, she would.
Well, can I say something to you? If there is a rapture, guess what?
What?
You'll be in it. If there is one. Because you're a Christian, you love Jesus, you know? So, I mean, that to me, that's just some of these doctrines that people come up with, it's just silliness. I mean, it's just downright silliness. If there is one, you'll be in it. Is there anything in the scriptures that said, to him that believeth in the rapture shall be saved? There's nothing in there that says that. It says if you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And if you do all those things, if there's a rapture, you'd be in it. So it ain't nothing more worth worrying about. But there isn't one, I don't think.
I read in the Bible, it says that, heaven will be brought down to earth.
Yeah. Well, that's what did Jesus pray?
Yeah.
When he taught him how to pray. Take us up into your kingdom somewhere out there? No. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, now he taught him to pray that. And then what did he also teach him? About the kingdom. He said, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Okay, so what's he saying when he's saying your kingdom come? He's saying it come in the people.
Yeah,
because when he becomes king in the throne of your heart, the kingdom's there, you know.
I'm not going to get into all that stuff. When I die, whatever happens to me, you know, okay.
You'll step into a heavenly realm with God.
You know, it's because do we know for sure what's going to happen to us?
And something else, you'll come into this Sunday school class if the rest of us are still around, and you'll be one of them cloud of witnesses that's in this room right now. It'll be saying, come on, you guys. Come on, you guys.
It's true.
Come on into the fullness
true.
Of this thing. Get into the fullness
come
of this
on.
Thing. You know, you'll be cheerleading us on. That's exactly what you'll be doing.
And you'll be in a little red and white skirt with Paul Wells.
Because I can't worry about this problem and what's going to happen to
right.
me. Because when I die, I don't know
so
what's going to happen. I'll wait when I get there. I'll haul down to you.
In his presence.
You'll step right over into his presence.
That's
is what
right.
happens.
You might not even know you died.
Yeah.
You might say, gee, where I was at before, that was really death. This is life.
Look at the colors. Wow. Listen to the sound.
Yeah, I don't. You know, there's a lot of things we don't really know. I'll be honest with you, and we just have to let the Lord unveil them as He unveils them. You know,
you'd be amazed and surprised.
See,
you will.
I always want to
write your
list
of questions because we're going to be right back here next week at the same time, same station.
There it was, right there.
At
wisdom.
Yeah.
God.
I got a whole Bible full of it.
That's right.